Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change. We still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. Are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode. Storyline by storyline. Character by character. As we break down the making of your favorite zip code. With your host. Charles
Rosen. Did I say
that? Yeah. Mary
Mullen. This thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush, TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
All right, we are here for the 100th episode, and right off the bat,
hello, everybody.
Okay. All right, listen, guys, right off the bat, you know, we are at the 100th episode, and we wanted to do a little surprise for Rebecca, Michelle, and Simon, because, you know, we roll that way. So here's this. Hello, Matthew Lawrence.
Oh. Hi.
There's my people.
Oh,
there we are, right people.
Right, so off, amazing.
Yeah, go ahead, Simon. I know you always have wonderful comments and questions. Is there anything that you want to say to Matthew?
Matthew, you always drive me to tears. Not only because you are crying all the time.
I'm having a little Simon. Hold on. I'm having a little trouble hearing you because I'm at I'm working and I'm at a bar.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'll explain. But
oh, the team is on the road
a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say you always drive me to tears, not only because you are crying all the time, but because you are such a nice guy. It's so incredible. It's so heartwarming to see you, really.
It's very heartwarming. Very heartwarming to see you is what he said.
Okay, do you want to make me cry again now? Is that what you're Because I will.
Well, that could happen on the court tonight, right? I mean, there's always that possibility, you know.
It could happen tonight. The game could make you
Who are we playing tonight?
Thank you so much, Simon. That means so much to me. And I do a pre- and post-game basketball show on ESPN Radio for the University of Kentucky. And they play a game in about 25 minutes. So I'm here at the place where we do our pre-game show. And it's kind of loud here. I would much rather, don't tell my boss this, but I would much rather just sit with you guys for a long time. That would be my wish.
Well, you probably don't know this, but Melanie and Maggie are really good at basketball.
I don't even know. That's news to me. All right, listen.
Wait, made it up, but yeah.
Rebecca, do you want to say anything to Matthew before we let him go here? He's got a very busy night. Yeah.
No, I just think a lot of my favorite episodes of 90210 revolve around like the David and Mel storyline, like when they went to Portland. And I just think those performances are really authentic and you can tell that the chemistry and connection was there. And so I don't know. I just think that those cast members together just made the show so much better. So I'm so glad that Matthew's here right now.
It's so good.
And if, you know, Larry, Chuck, everybody associated with the show, this makes me really angry that I wasn't on every single episode.
You were seriously on the most of any guest star. You're getting the jacket. Like, just like I said, getting the jacket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get that.
Thank you.
We would have had champagne, but we thought that was a bad taste.
Okay.
All right.
Like what you did there.
Let's say goodbye to Matthew. Thank you for stopping by, Matthew. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you. I love you all. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye, Matthew. Thanks.
So right off the bat there, thank you, guys. Listen, I want to ask you each if you want to talk about maybe your favorite moment of the podcast right here at the start. Let's start with Michelle.
Hi, everybody. I think I loved the story slam for obvious reasons. Seeing Dylan's confession brought to life was very special. For me, you know, to come up with an idea and you guys could do that, that was very special for me to see since I'm
for us too.
Dylan McKay fan. But another thing I loved is when you did the Super Show and reunited the cast for the 30th anniversary. That was just great, just to see everybody together again. It just put a big smile on my face.
I laughed at that because Chuck and I had no idea that was going to happen until maybe about a week before, right?
I thought it was about 15 minutes before, in my memory.
Maggie, what about you?
Oh, God, where do I start? Obviously, when you popped
David Bryan.
That was awesome. The Christmas Super Show was amazing. I love when Charles sings and the little band.
We all do.
Oh, you know, there is a secret word. Charles would kind of make a sound for me if we get the secret word. So just if anyone does mention the secret word, we might throw in a hint or two soon before we lose you. But yes, right. There is a secret word.
Oh, cool.
Yes, there's a secret word tonight. You know, Maggie brought up...
It's actually two words, you should say.
It is two words. But I feel like if they said one... it would be okay. Speaking of the whole thing with Chuck singing, this is when it first happened.
It's interesting to look at that. But I want to hear what you about cutting it, Hank. But I also just have to point out, you know, it was a really good song to choreograph. And that was the reason to, and I like you, and it was a romantic thing. The other song, and I think I've told you this on our first one of these podcast, Pete, The other song that was brought to me was, and it sounded so crazy that someone would be going, "Everybody dance now."
That was great, man.
I don't know why I have falsetto. I found it as a teenager, and it just never left me. You know my best one. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Larry, my best one is doing Bobby Lyman, "Why Do Fools Fall in Love." I sang that one to hear it when I was in my 20s.
Well, Frankie Valli stuff also should really hit you. Big girls, the big boys don't cry.
They don't cry. Okay.
All right, Lisa, welcome Lisa to this little fun opening here. What about you, Lisa? Do you have a favorite moment here on the podcast?
Well, there's so many, of course, but no, my all-time favorite, and I think many can agree, was when Jamie Walters came on and broke out the Hold On song and guitar. Oh, that was a moment. That was the moment. That was amazing. I think
number one.
I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that because that I don't remember who asked the question in the room when we had Jamie with us, but somebody prompted it. And then I was like, well, let me see how this plays out. And I just put the question up, and then he played. Wasn't that
ready? No, he was ready. He had the guitar right behind him.
He was like,
he knew we were going to ask.
Just in case, right? Yeah. How about for you, Simon? I know you've always said a lot of nice things in Patreon about what the podcast has done and all that stuff, and it's always wonderful to hear that. What's your thoughts on this, the podcast and all that?
Yeah, Pete, as you know, it means a lot to me. It's made my year. Hopefully, will make my next year. Like the other said, so many special moments, so many great. Impossible to choose a favorite. Speaking of Jamie and speaking of music, there was one episode that especially stood out to me, and it was the Peach Pit After Dark episode. It was about the music and the bands. And not only Jamie was with you and Brian, all of a sudden Tyler from the Bare Naked Ladies came up and Steve from the Flaming Lips. And it was amazing, you know, as someone who loves music, and you didn't make any announcements about this. They just came on and I was like, whoa.
Yes, I know. We just kind of roll that way sometimes. Melanie was all helpful with some of the acts that came in. I mean, I remember Bare Naked Ladies. That was all you, right, Melanie?
It was courtesy of Jen Leonard Benson, actually, who's a friend of Tyler, who I helped coordinate that, though. So I'm happy to take some credit. But that was one of my favorite moments, too, Simon. I love Bare Naked Ladies and the Flaming Lip. I mean, that was a really great episode.
Weren't they both drummers, too? They were both with drummers?
They were. Yes. It was a reunion of drummers. And Tyler was a big fan of Steven. So it was kind of a fanboy moment for Tyler, too, which was really cute to watch, I thought.
Pete, can I say one last thing?
Sure.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you all from all of my heart. It means the world to me. Thanks a lot for the show, for all your all the work and the opportunities you give us fans.
Thank you so much.
You know,
man.
I'm choking up.
Love you, Peter.
It makes me emotional.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Of course. All right, Rebecca, what about you? I know you've had a rough couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
What about you?
Favorite moment. I really like, I obviously like the ones where the cast comes on, but I really like when Molly Campbell's on. I like when Chip Johansson came on a couple times and talked about the Dylan Kelly stuff. I thought that was really cool. I liked when Lindsay came on and talked about like her relationship with the show, because I don't know, it was just interesting to hear like an outsider's perspective, even though it wasn't really outsiders, but it was. Sure. I obviously love when Larry talks about the kissing problem, because I just think it's so funny. I love when Chuck sings. It's always like the moments that are like small that like you don't think are going to happen, but the ones that like surprise you. And I'm chatting with everybody when the show's live. So it's the little things that I think just are really that you don't expect coming, but just make the night so much better. Wednesday's my favorite night.
Oh yeah. That's very nice. Speaking of Chuck just randomly bringing things out, I have a clip here. one episode you were drinking a little bit with us here, and storage slams.
They came out great. I mean, everybody involved in every way was part of it. It's really true. It's our New Year show as well.
That's right.
Anyway, people should be.
I have no recollection. I have to tell you.
It must be a super deluxe Christmas party.
That was, I think that was last Christmas. Yes, yes. I think that's when.
Party number two.
Boy,
yeah, that was good. It was only a few weeks ago that happened. We did the story slams in that one, I think, right? We showed the story slams in that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. But very funny how he just drops that in, isn't that?
Well, I mean, you know, we should point out, because we talked about,
because
he
you
did
really...
America's zip code. He did a beer from every region. He did a region.
Yeah.
That was good work.
Very comprehensive.
Pete, you kept stretching out the ending. What else were we doing? We said goodbye. I thought we were done 4 minutes ago. And get it moving, you know. Well, let's just move ahead to New Year's.
And the volume down, please.
All right. So that, I mean, it is true. What is all the whispering? Okay, let's see. We have, for Michelle, what about you? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I mentioned before about the Story Slam.
Yeah.
And the deluxe show having the whole cast there. And also, I got to agree with everybody, too, about Jamie Walters. That was also the big highlight for me.
Very
too.
Cool. All right.
Can we roll that clip of Jamie Walters?
I probably have the clip, but it's really hard to manage all this. But I was going to say, what really kind of launched everything into, you know, where people started noticing our show was when Larry shared this story.
Jason, please forgive me, but we actually had the Spice Girls for the end of college graduation, where Kelly Taylor's father, who's a big venture capitalist, is actually going to end up going to jail, decides to do a big gesture and throw a big party, and he's going to have the Spice Girls. And the Spice Girls had approached us. They wanted to do the show.
I mean, that's
when I presented it before the director and producer of the show, who was the director, which was Jason. Jason literally looked at me like I had two heads. Like, it wasn't bad enough we did the Rolling Stones. Now we're doing the Spice Girls. This is it. I'm out of here. I'm not renewing my contract. We're getting the Cardigans.
Ooh.
When I had to kind of look them up on MTV and kind of watch for a while. Just be like, just very light. You know, just talk, you know, no one remembers. Anyway, that's the show that I got fired. That's the band I got fired over. I kind of had overstepped my bounds at that
point. Wait, on the Cardigans or the Spice Girls?
I died on the Spice Girl Hill.
That one went kind of.
Jason was very gracious when he heard about it.
Yes. He was very cool about all of that. All right, we're going to say goodbye to all of our...
He didn't remember it that way, of course.
Yeah. We're going to say goodbye to all our peeps here. Thank you guys for being here. It's always good to see you all.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, that's that. Okay, that's our people there. And I didn't know that Melanie... I didn't know Melanie was leaving too, but okay.
Don't go, Melanie.
All right, so I mean, but he, Jason was great with all of that. He contacted us. Yeah. And
he's a great friend of the podcast, and he's enjoyed, you know, being reuniting with everybody and being part of the fun. And just did an amazing job on the Christmas Story Slam, Christmas in London. If you haven't seen it, I would go to YouTube onto the 90210 Show podcast page and look at it immediately and comment. It's so much fun.
I'm excited for his movie, you know, especially I was watching, you know, which is about the stealing of the Stanley Cup.
It's called Keeper of the Cup.
Keeper of the Cup. And the thing is that the on the NFL football stuff, they actually put on, like, who has the longest losing streaks in what sport. And the winner was the Maple Leaves, the Toronto Maple Leaves. So I went, come on, Jay, this is, you know, get this movie going. So I hope it's working out well.
I know.
It does look really, really good.
William Shatner stars in it as a former player from that 67 team who did not get a chance to spend a day with the Stanley Cup like the modern players do. And so he's dying and his buddies decide to steal the cup.
I want to ask you guys, I mean, we've been joined by so many different cast members, but we've also had some time to be joined by some of the crew. I think of Drew Kenny. He's been on this podcast so many times to talk. Are there other ones that you guys think about? Molly Campbell.
Yep.
And was there something, what about you, Chuck? Is there someone from the crew that came on that you had a, you know, wow, I can't believe that we learned that or something?
No, not so much. I miss the people who haven't come on, you know, Steve Randolph. I'd love to, you know, talk to him more.
Gary Antista.
Yeah,
Gary Antista.
Sure. We had some great directors. We had all the terrific directors on too. You know, Dan Attias and Michael Lang.
Dan Attias.
Bethany Rooney. You know, we really had that whole director series we had was really unique, I thought, and really insightful. And, you know, obviously we had, you know, Jessica Klein being on and always holding it down with, you know, great heart and love for the show. And we actually wish Jessica doing that. She's doing okay.
Yeah, thinking about you all the time, Jeff.
Yeah.
And, you know, crew-wise, let's see, who else? We had associate producer Chris Connolly. We had the composers. We had Gary David Scott.
That's right.
My brother Fred Mullen. Mm-hmm.
Producer Dave Semmel.
That's right.
The great Dave Semmel, the director, who
he was our AP.
On camera, he complimented my acting, so that was pretty good.
Katie says that she loves Melanie's headband, so I just wanted to make sure we got it.
Thank you, Katie. And thanks to my Canadian friends who sent me a bunch of headbands, not this one, but other ones. So thanks, ladies.
Is San Diego like the headband capital of California?
It might be. I think I've actually put it on the map, so thank you for asking.
You too. That's what I was getting at, but I wanted to know.
Hey, you know, we should also shout out to Kristen McIsaac, and is that her daughter in the opening clip, or who was in the clip?
Oh, no, is a friend of hers, but yeah.
They're in the opening credits, and they've been in all 100 shows.
I think so, yes, that's so right.
Her royalty check is in the mail. It's Canadian, though, so it'd be a lot
less. Wait, they weren't in all 100, were they, Pete?
I don't know if it was like, I think maybe like they missed the first 7. We had a really weird intro. We didn't really have anything to base the intro on in the beginning, so I feel like that evolved. I obviously want to shout out the whole campaign. Larry and I randomly started on Twitter to get Kathleen Robertson on the podcast.
You're shameless.
But I remember we would really wanted her, and I've talked to her about this process since this has happened. But as soon as she got the first email, she just said pass. And me and Larry were offended by pass. We just didn't like the way the tone was from whoever wrote it to us. Pass. Not regretfully, so sorry, just pass. So we went on this thing, but it took some time and some persistence. And then Holly wants to know, oh my God, this is amazing. Pete, how are you feeling? Ha ha. I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush TV crush worthy, you know, and I love it. So I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for checking in on me. So there was that. That was a very, that was a lot of fun having her on there. And, you know, that's a, I mean, it was a big deal for me and whatnot. So it's, that's been an exciting thing that happened. All right. Let's see what else we have here clip wise.
So is this more, Diane, in your mind, is this more what you're seeing because it's textured in that? Is it more, did you go for like kind of an 80s look more than a 90s?
I'm so glad you brought that up. I was watching the reunion show and the kid, I said kids, but cast were saying it was in the 90s, but it was really 80s. And here's the clarifier. Fashion doesn't go 80s, 90s. It goes from mid-decade to mid-decade. So you go from 85 to 95, from 75 to 85, because it all swaps over into what people already have in their closets and blah, blah, blah. So shoulder pads were on the way out, but they were still shoulder pads. Remember, Liz? We still had those prominent shoulders then.
Yeah, and I just quote what you said all the time. I didn't know that.
All right, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Shoulder pads. Cool.
I just learned something. I hadn't seen that clip, so now I understand fashion a little bit better.
The mid-decade to mid-decade. That's interesting. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, totally. Fun fact.
That was for the...
It makes sense that by the time it sits in and ends up in the department stores, it's 10 years, you know, 10 years have passed.
That was the Peach Pit one that we did.
Yeah.
Nice. That's right. I want to show you this one, Larry. This well, you guys both. I think this was when David was here.
I'm sure he's been accosted in malls all over America.
Yeah.
I have to be honest that my probably claim to fame has been this character in my entire career. I've had more people come up to me and say they recognize me from this. In fact, I had a waitress call the police. and say that she says I have a stalker in my restaurant. I know I saw him on, and she was mistaken for Fox. You know, I guess the police show.
God. Oh man!
Oh my god!
Well, for cops show.
Cops. Yeah, the police came and interviewed me and realized that it was just
unbelievable. That was one of my favorite stories.
When you play a villain, you know, you really. Yeah, it was America's Most Wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It was America's Most Wanted, not Cops.
Oh, probably, yeah. But David Bowe was great to have him join us, I mean, and share some of that. You know, it's always interesting to hear about how the actors come, because that character was pretty intense and pretty crazy. So I thought that was such a good one. How about for you, Melanie? You did a lot of different things here, right?
I did. You know, I enjoyed being on the episode with Cameron Bancroft. I love Joe Bradley's character, so I had a lot of fun listening to some of his stories. I don't know if we have a clip, but I think he told the story about, Ian giving him some guidance about being in front of the cameras because it was the day of the O.J. Simpson verdict when they were filming. I thought that was kind of a cool behind-the-scenes story from Cameron. That was a good episode.
It was Steve Young giving me advice.
Oh, it was Steve Young. That's right. It was Steve Young. I mean, that's right. That's right. They were playing football in the front yard of the Walsh house. Yep, exactly.
Okay, let's take a look. This is the first time we had Felice join us. I know a popular question keeps coming up on the chat and whatnot is, how close are you to Felice?
I don't think very close, actually. As my son was Donna's age, so I was around my own son and his friends, and actually my daughter-in-law was probably the biggest 90210 fan. The biggest. She had all the 90210 parties, and as a matter of fact, she invited me to the party for the final season and the final episode. And it was just a hoot being with all these young girls, and they were thrilled.
Wait, so you said this was your daughter-in-law, you said?
Yes.
So she probably has told somebody somewhere in her life, my mother-in-law is Felice Martin.
That's a good one.
It's good to see Darren Martin's face too. A lot of this.
Darren Martin and Lily.
Yes. A lot of this started out with Darren Martin. We wish him well up in New Brunswick.
Right. Always a big fan of Darren, and also like you mentioned, seeing Lily. I mean, we have to shout Lily out because really when the podcast idea started, you know, I had reached out to Lily because we needed someone to actually watch the show. And Lily was kind enough to join us every week on the podcast and share it with the large group that she has, that she's associated with, several of them. And she was always very hardworking at coming on and coming up with questions and asking the things that I think everybody wanted to hear. So much love to you, Lily. I hope all is well in Connecticut.
Yes.
All right. Let's see this
best
one.
You,
we spoke to Joshua Beckett. Chuck and I did, and I asked him about the origins of the character and the name. And we didn't really know, but you have an answer to that question of where does Josh?
I'm pretty certain he appeared in the beginning of college because I know it was a character that I collected character payments on. So I always, you always like that. And I knew I had named him because Richland, I had a friend named Craig Richland, if you're listening, who was, you know, this was, you know, there was still cocaine around and stuff then. It was, you know, it was a living high. And he
much
was,
of it on the set from the glorified AFI crew until we fired some people, by the way.
I mean, this was past. I was already out of it. This was more like 80s, thank God. So, yeah, it was, that's how I was functioning. But I always remembered him. And I just kind of thought I would honor my coke dealer.
Do you remember that, Larry, honoring your coke?
He's a lawyer today, by the way. He's sober and a lawyer.
So and everything works.
And everything he does criminal law, right? Is that right?
Yeah. He does a lot of pro bono stuff. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he made a killing in the coke business. He's in there.
Oh, boy.
No one used up too much of the product, unfortunately, I think.
And we digress.
Our buddy Mauro says, I learn a lot with the podcast. So many backgrounds we didn't know. Thank you so
Mauro in Argentina, a member of Planet 90210 crew. We've met so many
people. Hope you're feeling well, right?
I mean, that to me was a high point. Those big fan shows we did, to hear all the stories of what really, you know, why people are just so enamored of the show, why they love the show like we do. It just was great to hear and how some people really had to work hard to see it. I mean, all, you know, we hear the stories from Russia and other areas where you just didn't have access. You had to literally, you know, crawl over cut glass to see it.
And, you know, I should say, Larry, you were the one that sort of, you know, championed those big shows. I mean, we've talked about putting the super show together, but doing the Planet 90210, something for that audience was really cool. And then, of course, we followed that up because we obviously love doing this to ourselves. With trying to find a fan.
50 fans from 50 states with 50.
That was a challenge.
You know, we got close. We got at least 46 out of 47. So, I mean,
least.
And, you know, just hearing all the diverse regions and what they respond to and everybody, you know, it was crazy. I mean, it was great. You know, we had Malik in Atlanta. We had people in, you know, in Idaho and just hearing some amazing stories and, you know, how it touched their lives and in some ways gave them friends when they didn't have friends.
I want to see what this clip is. I have no idea what we're in for. Oh, that was very cool. That was,
oh,
I think.
Great. Yeah, I saw the UFC fighter. We had that UFC fighter, David.
Oh, love
wow. This. And Catherine Ryan. Hello, Catherine Ryan out in Louisiana.
And Lisa being there from California.
Lisa from California sneaking in there. That's great. Yeah, no, that was. And, you know, we met Crystal from Nevada and we met, you know, we made crazy friends.
I want to say, though, we have to give Melanie a shout out because when we do those, any of those super shows, whether it's the super show or America's Zip Code or the Planet Show, there is so much behind the scenes happening. People are coming in and out of this setup, this StreamYard setup, which has been so wonderful to work with. Right, Chuck?
So seamless.
Hey, also a big shout out to Brian.
Well, it seems you learn how to get around it, Pete, which is good.
Somebody walk me through.
I did 100 shows. Only took 62 experiments to find out, but you made it.
But yeah,
I want to shout out to Brian Armand because that was America's Zip Code theme, which we asked him to do, and he volunteered, and it really is cool.
I love it. Yeah. But so I want to say though, I mean, look, this was very good work, Melanie. I mean, I appreciate everything that you did. I mean, putting all those people together, it is not easy, especially when the three of us just come up with like a random request, you know, need picture of Claire now, you know, or something random.
Or my favorite one I threw at you during the podcast.
The Christmas TV, show.
Titles of TV movies
on Hallmark or Lifetime.
We should point out that the show got more professional because Melanie is a professional producer. She produces the San Diego Padres broadcast and also now the Anaheim Ducks.
That's right.
You're very lucky to have that level of professionalism.
Yes, I'm stage managing the Ducks. It's kind of a secret, but we're doing some of their road games in our San Diego studio. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay, well, there's that out there now.
Very good.
Yes, 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 definitely. Pete and I actually just worked on a shoot together. He's editing a project for me.
That's right.
So
yes, we were. Oh, yes. Of course.
Okay, when are we going to see that? Whatever that
question.
We're still waiting for all the final changes. Yes. All right, listen, let me show you this. I don't know. It says it's a minute and 12 minutes per seconds. I don't know if it's going to last, but it said Planet 90210. I don't know what that means.
Okay. It became something special, and it still is, obviously, because we've got a lot of excitement around the world for Planet 90210 today, and I'm not going to take any more time because we got to get to it.
All right, let's get to – you guys ready? We're going to get in our luggage together because we're
– set it now. We're going east to Israel.
We're going
to Israel. Oh, I love this.
I think
transition.
This is a recap. It's a recap.
I love the transition. It's like my favorite thing.
Boy, Mercury.
Oh, shit.
We're going to get flagged now.
Yeah. No girl.
Love, Connor.
Beautiful stuff. just cut it right.
We're going to get flagged.
Yeah, maybe.
So just cut that.
Around the world.
Can you come in later? Because I want to see those faces. I'd love to see the.
We'll see if I can get Todd to maybe help us out there on that one. But I mean, listen, this
86
was
86. The music. 86. The music.
Just turn the sound down during. The
Always. All right. Let's see. Here's another one. But I want to talk about. I don't know if this is the actual clip of something that I wanted to talk about. But
now here's the thing: we had been fighting to change the perception of people with disabilities for a number of years, and because we were always being portrayed as mean, nasty, evil people. And so I had played so many golden boys and, you know, sweet, lovable dads and characters, and they went that away kind of parts and so forth. So I was ready when Paul said, would you be interested in playing a pretty nasty character? I was ready to jump right on it. And I was delighted to be asked to do that. To be honest, the most fun characters are the mean, nasty people. So a lot of the questions that I've seen pop up about this character on your website were like, are you as creepy as you played? And do you feel creepy? And blah, blah, blah. And I just watched those 5 episodes in the last few days, and boy, I was creepy.
God bless Alan Toy. Best to you.
But that was back in the day when everybody in the world was Zooming and StreamYarding and everything. And boy, we just could not get Alan Toy's internet to work, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. Do you have that clip or no?
I don't have that clip. That was what I was trying to set up. Yeah, sorry.
Well, we had a lot of them, Pete, right? They were just people who were really didn't have the resources, I guess, to learn a damn thing about the technology. Or, you know, Pete would send out this email that basically said, use Chrome. It's what the company recommends. It's real easy. You just hit a Chrome. And then it was like, we'd be on the show, it would start, and they'd be there going, Chrome?
A lot of troubleshooting.
That's Chrome, you know? It was a little nutty.
I remember the Wings Hauser trying to get him on the phone.
Yeah, Wings, yeah, he was, yeah.
I don't see that clip here, but that was something, wasn't it?
Didn't we play it through the phone or something?
With Nolie Thornton, though. With Nolie Thornton, seeing her after all these years, that was really special, I thought. When a classic lady.
That's actually a question I was going to ask you guys. We've gotten some, and I have some clips of some really hard ones that we tracked down. Larry, you went deep into detective mode. You turned into Wingshauser trying to find trying to find Nolie Thornton.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, I did. I posed as a bunch of different people. I found her her husband basically, and then got to her through that. I kind of sent him the request and it worked out. Yeah, but she was wonderful to see her. And I mean, she, you know, she's got to be like 35.
She's full, you know. She's beautiful.
Just looks stunning, stunning and classy, and I think we had James Whitmore on there. Are we reuniting, or that was a Hazardous to Your Health show we did, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was a great moment. I thought, you know, it's a real find, and I felt that way also when I had the season 6 Tara. I kind of stalked her for a long time, and for the terrible tale of Tara and Kelly, and she came on the show, and we had a Jenny Garth popped in to say hi to her to reunite. It was
that was really cool. Yeah,
I like that.
I want to also say, for me, tracking down someone pre-Larry was Brooke from Castles in the Sand. She was really hard to find. And I had to dig her up through some old movie that she was in. But here's a clip of Brooke.
That's great.
Told you before he came on, there was a few fans that think, wow, I can't believe you're going to have Brooke on. And I'm like, the actress is an actress.
It was really, really difficult to play that part. And I remember when I went to the audition, I walked into the warmest room of people. Thank you very much. And I just walked in and I went, I want this part, because I think that racism runs deep. It's in our DNA. And I really, really, I really want to play this part. And I also said, I've already had Luke. Now I want Jason.
I love that.
She mean by that?
I know what she meant by that, Larry.
That's what I thought she meant.
No, okay. I think she was just talking about on the characters. I think that's what she was talking about. I think she was talking about the character.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she had previously worked with Luke on some other project.
Like a soap opera back in the day. You know, yes. The Loving or whatever they were.
We also had some touching moments here on the show. I hope this is going to be one of them. Jenny, you did the entire series, and obviously these guys all left at certain places, but you were there for the ending where Kelly and Dylan were starting to form that again. Do you think that Kelly and Dylan, I was going to say were soulmates, but do you think that they wound up together again?
Yeah. I think that they had a really unique and special connection, and I like to think that they ended up together.
Cool. I mean, that was like, you know, we really had a really nice moment there when we had Jenny on talking about the whole
Jenny.
Yeah. Kelly and Dylan thing and whatnot. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people that we've come through that came through the doors of this show talking about Luke, generally speaking, and, you know, the difference that he made in their lives just on a personal level and or on the show and, you know, Larry, we've talked about, you know, how he would welcome guest stars and all of that stuff. So it's been really nice to, you know, look, before all things, I'm a super fan of this show and I'm probably a super fan of Luke Perry. And that's probably what kept me watching it all the time. And so to be able to honor him sort of every week on this thing has been really nice to hear that.
Hey, you know what I was thinking, Chuck? What was really fun when we were in Vegas together, we did all those bits. We did a lot of funny bits, and we had David Gale on the show. We had to find him in Paris, France. I mean, and it was a wonderful
he was a hard get, and then he was very happy to be there. That was a good thing.
And Zach Throne.
Well, the thing about David Gale too was I don't even have WhatsApp. I had to get on WhatsApp. He would only talk to me on WhatsApp. So I was on a WhatsApp with him, you know, to try to get him to do the show. But he was sweet, and David Gale, he was very lovely. All right, I'm going to hit a shirt ad, and then we'll be right back.
Okay. Do you know we have even more new shirts and merchandise at Beverly Hills 90210showshop.com? For instance, watch our Planet 90210 show with some sick Planet 90210 merch. Or want to celebrate at the Peach Pit? Check out this new shirt with a photo from Jill Henkel's collection. Or, oh my god, I know Claire Arnold fans are going to love this one. A little sex, rock, and really decent literature. Plus, for all you Larry Mullen fans, that's right, a get out of here shirt. And don't forget about our classic designs. We keep loading it up with more items each week, so head over to BeverlyHills90210ShowShop.com for all your 90210 stuff.
All right, there we go. Oh. Wouldn't be complete without a Chuck call.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Let's see what this clip is. I have no idea where we're going. How about just with you and Tori? Tori and Donna. Did it through the series become like, I don't know who I am right now? Like out when you're out in a normal situation?
We always say, and you guys would know best, but we felt like you guys picked up on stuff that we did in real life. And Jen and I are always like, did they know that about us? Like, did they hear us talking? And we're like, were there mics somewhere? Like things that we really liked and were into, you guys always picked up on and incorporated it into the story somehow. Like a lot of that stuff, like, you know, Donna, I was into fashion and I was like styled and I was always with the wardrobe department. Like I would go in there at lunch and I would look over everyone else's clothes and I was just like so invested in it. And then Donna became a fashion designer. And yeah, it's not like I got drawn into the Donna world. Like Donna was me. Like that was me. I think I have a little bit of a raunchier sense of humor than Donna, but everything you saw, like every side of Donna was completely me.
Very cool of Tori and Jenny, you know, who have their own podcast to drop by every once in a while and hang out with us, right?
Absolutely.
And Brian Austin Green's booth dropped in all the time. We learned about his chickens and other things. He has an interesting life, and he's on a show right now, I think.
Now, Against Us, yes.
Celebrity Detective or something? I don't know what it is.
Can you hear my voice or something, I think? I have it on my rundown for the news this week. We'll talk about it.
And, you know, God bless. And he's got a new gal. Yeah, he looks happy. And
He's so happy. I've had the opportunity to get to hang out with him a couple of times, and he's just seems like such a happy person these days. So good for him. I wanted to share this comment that Kristen McIsaac said, and we touched on this, that Jessica and Karen are two of the best parts of this podcast. And I want to just say that is absolutely true.
Karen doesn't let me forget it either.
Well, I'm just curious though for you, Larry, to reconnect with Jessica and hear about some of those stories. How nice has that been?
Oh, it's been it's wonderful to do that and have this thing we can all fondly look back and be proud of looking back on. But it's been that way for so many of the people. I think that's why they enjoyed coming on the show, because you know, as time's gone by, we realize we really did something there and we should really be proud of it. And we have had a couple of people who obviously are not proud of it. So that's troubling to us. I'm talking to you, Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I'm talking to you, Sharon.
Dina Meyer.
Dina Meyer, we love you very much, all you people, but you don't want to come on. It's just so odd. So we want to celebrate you and give you some love. And I don't know. It's sad.
But I want to touch on that note in a second. But Charles, you did this show with Karen. We all love her here. She's written some of our favorite episodes and everybody has told you that. Has this been rewarding for her as well, do you think, hearing what people have been saying about particularly what she's written? And, you know, what has that been like for her?
Well, she got a pillow out of it. The words we got coffee mugs. She drinks out of the black one and I drink out of the aquamarine.
That's
and
cute.
It has been, in all seriousness, it really was, you know, from the first, which we talked about, we went back into memory lane with the folks who we met at Nate and Al's all those years ago in 2013, before there was a Blazer and before there was us and before there was, and had no idea that anybody was really watched the show or was watching it. So it meant a lot to find that out, you know, and then to really be able to call your fans by name, because you know ones that really it mattered, not only to like the show but to connect with us too. So, but I know, speaking for Karen, she feels that way.
One thing that we got to do that was not on the podcast was we all went to we did an LA get together with Lisa and Zara, who was in town, and seeing Zara at your place when she met Karen was just awesome, Chuck. Wasn't it?
Like, yeah, that was a fun night. We went up on the roof Mm-hmm. And it was like, we had some view. You could see buildings and things. It was a nice night, if I remember correctly. And,
yes.
And just to be, it was very nice to have you guys there. And,
all right, let's see what we have now.
I see, while we're looking, I see
Chuck, how did you find Larry Mullen? And Larry Mullen, how did you find Chuck Rosen?
Oh, it must be March 17th.
Well, I felt one of the things, with the critique, not coming from the network, not coming even from the audience, just knowing what the internal dynamics were in the writer's room and putting the show together and where we were going and where we had to be going as we moved in from high school into college, I knew that I felt we had to strengthen guy humor. You know, we kind of didn't, we had somebody who was there in season two, our friend Jonathan Roberts, who went on to do The Lion King. He did guy humor, but he, went went off. And so, and we, in third year, we didn't have it. So I wanted to strengthen that. And to do guy humor, obviously, on this particular television show, the other criteria was that person who's got a great sense of humor has to be able to write drama.
So that's how you guys found each other. I mean, what is this?
Synchronicity was very lucky.
That be him.
Coming off a Renegade, you would never expect it,
I mean, Larry, I'm sure you've worked on many shows.
I've had a confusing career path, yes.
I want to ask you, but working for Charles Rosen, what was that like back in those days?
We both just got each other. It was fun. It was just, we had a good time in the thing. We had no problem working weekends at Chuck's place. And, we all just had the vision of the show, and we were all in, basically, It took
– Larry –
Again, it was 32 episodes a year.
Yeah, and Larry and I both are easy in terms of, what about this dialogue? Oh, no? Okay, well, what about this? You got to keep the flow moving. So
not a masterpiece medium.
We're okay with that and not, the big sin, and still we probably said at some point, played us on the show over the 100 that we've done, is that, don't fall in love with your words because they may have to be changed.
Right. As they say, you got to kill your darlings.
Kill the babies.
All right. Let's see what this is here. And Beth wants to know if we can get you to sing I Want to Sex You Up.
Yeah. You guys really want me to sing a piece of it?
Yeah.
That was Beth. You guys is us, and that's Beth, but we'd like to hear it too. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Come inside, take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone. I've been waiting all night, so just let me hold you close to me. Cause I've been dying for you, girl, to make...
okay, so that's where the dogs were. It was Butler and Grace.
Oh, I thought
Butler
like
and Gracie. Jesus Christ, Karen's not here, and
we haven't even said the secret word. And you're drinking over there. How many shots have you had?
Well, I used to see toast.
I noticed.
We should have given him a quick thing there. We kind of blew it.
I've totally forgot about it.
Yeah,
I totally forgot that
had. He's drinking anyway.
Larry, one big thing that was mentioned.
The only place I drink, by the way, it really is true, and Larry knows that. I'm a committed herbalist, so I'm not. Yeah. Everyone.
This is a very celebratory occasion, so drinks are
100, a round number. Yes. I remember when we got to 100 episodes.
Pig is the boy is the dog.
Yeah. And we had the party at a nightclub, the Gate, I think it was called. It was a nightclub on La Cienega that was. The happening nightclub, the nightclub scene. There was a strong nightclub scene in kind of West Hollywood in those the years we were doing 90210. But the hip one would change like every 12, 13 months.
That was the hip one at the time, though. Yeah,
it sure was. And we got there, and we get to the 100, and Sandy represents the network, and he's really eloquent. And then Aaron gets up, and he does his, and he says, that's it. And I go, no. And I, grabbed the mic, and I said what I always said in occasions like this. And here's another toast, Melanie, so I'm having another one.
All right.
Here's to whoever can remember the first 12.
Here's what he said.
Cheers.
And then the 200th episode was with this ring, and Fox gave us this cheap little thing which says, Time flies when you're having fun. Happy 12200th. Like, what a freaking cheap ass gift.
What is it?
It's like a clock. It was like a clock, which is broken. I found it in my. Okay. This is going to be giving this stuff away as promotional stuff.
Let's see what else we have here. Go ahead. Did you have something, Larry, that you wanted to add?
No, you were going
to
ask me something.
I was, but I can't figure out which clip is which because it's not labeled. So let's just hope. Let's just hope this is it.
Well, what happened about episode 6 or 7 was we got called upstairs. And by that, I mean it was Steve Wasserman and I got called up. This has been in the teen drama horror.
Yes,
Harry Weiss's column. And we're told, not the only time this has ever happened, but we were told that the chemistry between, you know, one of our stars and the guest star we was portraying and romantically involved in was not working, and we were going to have to terminate his contract. And in this case, we're doing 32 episodes a year, as Chris knows how difficult that was. And the kind of, you know, I'm always pushing for material. We were way ahead in scripts, and Mr. Spelling knew it. And so when he brought us up there, this is going to be delivering us some pretty devastating news, like right probably around November, Thanksgiving, maybe whatever. And the way he couched it, he couldn't lose. He said to us, and again, I have no knowledge of whether this is true or not, but this was he was a master manipulator. He's a great executive producer. And sometimes the ends justify the means. But for whatever reason, he said to us, well, I just heard Dalton James is anti-Semitic. And we go, what? He goes, that's what we heard. And Steve and I go, what? We just kind of brought up our rage or whatever. He says, I think we have to cut him out. He says, yes, we're going to write him out. I'm writing that script. I'm going to write him out right now. And
so you were charged
Steve
up.
And I, and by the time Steve and I got to the elevator, we went, it's not true, is it? He just did that so we couldn't complain about it. And he got rid of us quickly. You know, like if Chuck was there, Chuck would have fought. Chuck would have demanded proof. But, you know, it was my first time. Right,
all right. So Larry.
Chuck would have talked about the money. Who's paying the scripts? Where's the overage? Where's it coming from? I would have never let him off that. He was running the show by that point. He could do what the fuck he wanted. But in my case,
This became a little bit of urban legend because one time on the podcast, you alluded to there being a kissing problem on the show.
Well, that essentially was what it was. That's essentially because, you know, we asked our actresses to be intimate with guest stars over a long period of time. And, you know, it's a lot to ask of them. In this case, it didn't really work out. So I just termed it, there was a kissing problem, and that was it. I mean,
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if I've ever told this on air, and I don't know if I should, but we asked Dalton James to do the podcast once, and his agent came back and said he will do the podcast, but do not ask him any questions about Jenny Garth.
We can only speculate what happened, because, you know, I happened to see a couple of the early episodes of that season, and I saw some kissing going on. It was, you know, maybe the third episode we did the Mate for Life. Maybe it was one I just caught on. And it was a good kiss. It looked like a solid, you know, it landed well.
Well, Jenny's a great kisser, I would imagine. So, yeah, course, it's a good kiss.
Something happened, though. Perhaps. You just could
speak. Oh, you don't know what? You don't know what?
I think it's the tongue.
It was the tongue. It's got to be tongue. It could
very well be, Chuck. You know,
inappropriate tongue usage.
That when Gabby Cartieris told that story on air. She would warn guest stars, don't even think about putting your tongue on my mouth. You'll be out of here.
Oh, man.
That was great. You know, but again, that was the Wild West then before, you know, hashtag Me Too.
Hey, guys, before we get into
intimacy coordinators.
I know this is probably more for Melanie's news show, but we had a whole thing, and I have none of the clips for it, but we got into a whole thing about Jessica Alba. You know, and we were constantly in Us Weekly for a minute there. Remember, Christina Lee made a comment that Jessica Alba
she was lying. Yes.
Yes, that, you know, something about she couldn't look cast members in the eye and this nonsense.
She was told. Yeah, there were instructions on how to handle it.
Do you know Us Weekly just put out a story that someone had a problem with Jessica Alba?
Jensen Ackles, yes.
You know what they say about what goes around, right?
Little karma.
Let's see.
I remember being at the pool when they shot that hot scene in the water, and it was really cold.
Cold night.
Could see the steam rising out of the water in the pool, and Jenny Garth complained that it was cold, and the director said, just remember what Alfred Hitchcock said. Act warm.
Act warm. That was our classic. That's great. You know, we've all used that one. We ask a lot of the actors. It's amazing what they do.
Yeah. But I just, you know, again, on Jessica, just rooting for her and hoping she's doing well. All right, let's see.
Okay. But first of all, what I do want to say before all of this, before I even get into the wardrobe story, is that it's not easy being an actress in this town. It's not easy being put under the kind of pressure you're put on with your weight, which at that time was insane. Yes. The heaviest girl on that set weighed 102 pounds, and they called her fat, and that was Jenny Garth's character. Oh, one of the characters weighed in at 89. So we had a situation with the actresses, right? From an internal psychological perspective. So I will not throw shade on any of them for what they were going through.
Sure.
But I will say this. When I went to my fitting, one of the wardrobe people was kind of like grumpy, and I was kind of looking through it going, wow, you know, she seems a little frumpy, but you know, I don't know. Like, what do I know? I'm not the wardrobe person. And the ladies told me that every single one of the other actresses, save Gabrielle Carteris, the three, Tori, Shannon, and Jenny, all went through my rack and removed anything that they liked.
Well, I mean, when she was on, I mean, she went, that was, you know, she really said a lot of interesting things. That's one of our better episodes of our podcast, I thought. Do you remember that, Charles?
I sure do, and
I just saw your comments.
I'm glad we did this clip and not the other clip, which I think got me in a little trouble. But if you want to,
we won't go there. No, that's not. Well, do you want to clarify what you meant, or no? Do we shouldn't go there at all?
Just move on.
Okay. All right. So, and then of course, listen, our friend Kristen's just saying all the right things today. Jessica Shaw. You know, all the press people that we've had here, Jessica Shaw,
Aaron
Clemens, who's
Sarah.
Also Perry, the wardrobe.
Perry. Miss Perry. Mm-hmm. Come back, Perry. Oh, and poor Sherry Weiss, our friend Sherry Weiss.
Doctor of teen dramology. Yes, absolutely. Professor Weiss.
Yeah, well, that's all. Yeah, that was always made it great. Especially when we were, you know, as you said, when it was the lockdown and everybody was here and that's what we knew. Now we've reached, you know, a very unsettling stage, but one where we know, right? I mean, you got bit by it. Pete, do you have any lingering effects?
I mean, no, I'm fine. I'm okay with this new version of the COVID is what you're talking about. But I've been okay since that happened. I got past it pretty quickly. How about you guys? Did you guys have any personal people that you knew that got COVID or anything? I know we've had people here that have told us that that they went through some tough stuff with COVID and all that.
Nothing tough. People have had it, I know, but you know.
Well, we get tested.
We come around the beach. We haven't seen the beach
because of the wedding. You know, we all have to be healthy for that, so we're getting tested. Larry, you guys are coming, right?
No, I'm not going to make it, Chuck. I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
We're going to be out in the desert. It's just going to be hard. He doesn't feel we can do it. You know, we got tested. It just seemed like a lot. And who knows what's going to happen in a week or two. I'm hoping it's going to be right for the kids. They just can't get a break.
All right. We're getting to the end of this year. We've covered quite a lot of things, and I'm sure we can go on all night about things that we loved. Why don't we just kind of recap here one thing each that you really, really loved this during the podcast, whether it's a specific episode or just something general that really was nice about doing this. Let's start with Melanie.
Okay, I have two things. First was when we did our locations tour in LA. I had a lot of fun going around to all the different filming locations with the three of you. That was so much fun. And then I have one more, just Pluto tweet-alongs. I really enjoyed doing the Pluto tweet-alongs, and I hope that we can do some more of that in this coming year. So, and the hunts, of course, it kind of ties into the locations. Yeah, the hunts, but
yeah. I know, Larry, that you really loved the Pluto tweet-alongs. That was a lot of fun, wasn't that?
Oh, yeah, just a challenge. But, I mean, the best thing we did was we created this community of fans that know where to go and check in and meeting other fans. And, you know, we heard today on Twitter from our UK bunch from Planet 90210, they all still keep in touch. and you know, we've got Fatty watching us right now, and Morrow in South America, and it's pretty amazing. And Simon, obviously, in Europe. Where's Simon? In Austria, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just agreed.
You know, we haven't heard from our Italian friends, but we know they're out there. They watch the show, and our Israeli friends. It's just amazing, you know, just here having that you know, giving people a place to enjoy the show.
Chuck, how about you?
Well, I know this is going to be corny, but it really gets down to, you know, living it was one thing. So the living it, the story shared and all of that, that was, you know, just part of, you know, the 5 years and beyond. But just being able to hang out with you, all three of you, you know, I mean, Larry, we would have done it anyway. Most, you know, and
it gave us something.
Even though he's stiffing my son, it's okay. Jesus God. You know, but all of us, seriously, you know, it's just been good that way, and you know, we explored a lot, and we'll continue to do some stuff, right? You know,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You know, I really encourage anybody who you know, wants a story slam considered. You know, Larry and I are open to ideas, but you just have to put yourself in it.
There was one today, actually. Someone said, what if Andrea's pregnancy wasn't Jesse, but was Dan Rubin?
All right. I like where you're going with that. Yeah, that was a good one. I want to say this has been great, guys. Doing 100. I know, Charles, we probably thought we'd get through 8 and that would be it back then. But I've learned so much from you guys, not just about 90210, just about life and the world and COVID and everything we were dealing with in this area and in this time. And it's been so great to have this time with you guys and with the fans, as you said, Larry, building the community. And, you know, me getting to meet Kathleen's amazing, but seeing the other fans get to experience that as well, whether it been Jason dropping by or Ian dropping by or Brian dropping by or Emma Caulfield, whomever. We've had a lot of people spend some time here and telling us their story of getting on to 90210 and what it's meant to them, and in good or bad at times, but mostly all good. But so
also months, Ryan, you know, Ryan out there.
I was going to say, you know, we were going to give the competition to Matthew Lawrence, but months may. Maybe. That's a neck and neck.
Yeah.
That's some Chevy Chase, Steve Martin stuff going on right there.
And only Ryan could have played Bobo.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Nailed it.
Okay, well, this has been great, guys. Melanie, Lisa keeps asking for this. Let's see to do this, oof. But this is keeps popping up in the board. Would you sing the chorus of "Hold On"?
Yes.
Oh shit, he's gonna do
this. This is like literally the number one. Number one.
Oh man, thank you, Mark. I'm getting chills now. Jesus.
Every time.
Uh-oh. We were so excited to see this the first time you play this. We couldn't believe the gift.
Yeah. Oh, it keeps on giving too.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to see you ever sad. And everything I've got, you can have. So will you take my hands and feel how close I am? Cause there ain't nothing I won't do for you. Hold on till you feel a little stronger. Hold on to me. Hold on, everything's gonna be alright. Just hold on to me tonight.
All right.
That was really cool. I'll never forget that moment, right?
Still swooning over that.
All right, guys. This has been great. We will be back next week. Larry and I have a special episode coming in, hopefully, and it should be a blast. More to come. Hey, what about a Planet 90202?
Yeah, if we can put it together as other countries, perhaps. Or do we just revisit our old friends again? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, shout out to all those folks out there, Diana Leon, and you know, the zip code folks too. I haven't shouted out Diana Lowe, who was played grandma in the Story Slam.
David? Joseph.
People just got involved in the show. We have to thank everyone who got involved in Story Slam. It was a great fun for us, and I hope people are going to go out and sample it. You know, it's on the YouTube channel.
Yes. All right, guys, this has been great. We will see you all next week.
All right. Bye, everyone. Happy 100.